Well, thank you again for making tonight a part of your week. We're excited about what God is doing in and through our church, and we're excited to share in this conversation with you. As we think about the subject of vision, I want to begin by a quote from Henry Blackaby that sort of summarizes, I think, an appropriate level of weightiness to a conversation about vision in the church. He says, "How often do Christian leaders claim to have received their vision from God when in fact they have simply dreamed up the most desirable future they could imagine and then prayed for God to bless their efforts? It is critical for leaders to walk closely with the Father so that they are keenly aware of his revelation and are prepared to respond to his initiatives. The role of the spiritual leader is not to dream up dreams for God, but to be the vanguard for their people in understanding God's revelation." And so to summarize that, the leadership of this church who've been dreaming about and praying about this vision, we don't take this lightly. So as we think about vision, I want to start with something that's actually not vision, and I want to start with an exercise for you. This is a two-part exercise. So at your table, I'm going to give you 90 seconds, and what I want you to do is I want you to go around and every single person at the table, I want you to share. Because all of you were first-time guests here at one point, I want you to answer the question, what are the one or two main reasons why you came back? So you got 90 seconds. Ready? Go. All right. So I'm going to ask you to come back. How many of you, one of those two things had something to do with relationships? Okay, the vast majority of us in this room. I want you to do another exercise, and this one will take you a shorter amount of time. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and everyone around your table, go and share the first person who comes to your mind as the most influential person in you coming to know Jesus. Ready? Go. All right. So I think that those two exercises have caused us to see the importance of relationships in disciple making. And we can say it like this: disciples are made and disciples mature in the context of relationships. Churches don't make disciples. Programs don't make disciples. Disciples make disciples. And you've all experienced that to some degree in your life. And here at Centennial, one of the things that always has been and always will be a part of our ethos and our DNA is that intentional way that we approach relationships and community. And we wanted to, as we were thinking about this vision frame, try and take it out of sort of a nebulous concept of just relationships in general, or we're a relational church, to something that's a little bit more tangible and actionable. So the phrase that we've associated with this is gospel neighboring. Gospel neighboring. Now, of course, this is we take this out of the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And I won't recount for you the entire parable. If you remember at the end, Jesus says to the law expert, "Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers?" "The one who had mercy on him," Jesus responded. And Jesus says to that man, do you remember? "Go and do likewise." Live as neighbors. And so this concept of gospel neighboring is the ethos that has shaped every part of the vision that we're going to be sharing tonight. You could define gospel neighboring as what it looks like is when we're willing to disadvantage ourselves for the good of someone else. When we, like the Good Samaritan, not only passively are disadvantaged, but go out of our way to disadvantage ourselves for the good of other people and point them to Jesus. So when we leverage our time and our relationships and we're willing to give up things like our comfort and our security in order to love people and point them to Jesus, that's what gospel neighboring is. And that's the center of what this church is all about. That's the operating system, so to speak, that drives everything we do. And as Jennifer mentioned, the vision that we're gonna be talking about tonight is not a brand new vision. If anything, it's sort of a clarification and maybe a refresh of a vision that we've had. But this is not a new direction. We're not charting a new course. We're sort of refreshing what has already been in existence and giving clarity and greater definition to it. So as we think about the vision, we're going to do so by looking at it. We used a tool called the vision frame, and maybe some of you have heard of this. The vision frame is You identify your mission, your values, your strategy, and your measures, and this outside frame sort of defines, or it's a way of looking at who is the church that we are and sort of putting on paper, this is who we are. And then the center of this, what's called the vision proper, is where do we sense God calling us? So the outside of the frame is who we are, and the inside of the frame is where do we sense God calling us? Where are we going? So we're going to just spend a little bit of time looking at the outside and the inside of this vision frame tonight. So let's begin by looking at the mission then. The mission is this: why do we exist? We exist to lead people into a community of flourishing in Jesus. We believe that it's in the context of a community that is shaped by the gospel, where people flourish and live as God designed them to live. So that's why we exist, to lead people into a community of flourishing in Jesus. The second side of the frame then is the values, and that's the convictions that shape us. And those convictions are grace, community, and mission. And again, these are not new values, these are not new convictions for us. We've taken the existing values of grace, community, and mission, and we've tried to put a sentence or a phrase with them that takes it sort of out of the realm of grace as a concept and community as a concept, and added phrases. We believe that the gospel changes everything. We believe that we're better together and that God designed us to flourish in the context of community. We believe that people matter to God. And of course, these values then shape everything that we do as a church. So for example, because we believe the gospel changes everything, we want to be the kind of church that creates pathways for people to grow in the gospel and actually be transformed and changed by Jesus. We want to share stories about how God is at work among the people of this church. Because we believe that we're better together, we choose to live as family and we create space for everyone to belong. We believe that people matter to God, and so we remain wholly dependent upon him in prayer, asking him to do the things that we cannot do, which is change a person's heart. And then we step into courageous conversations, believing that God's Holy Spirit is at work when we tell our friends about Jesus. And so these values, these convictions, shape the way that we do things as a church, okay? The bottom part of this vision frame, as you can see here, is called strategy. I'd like for us to think about this a little bit differently. So think about the life of our church less in terms of structures and programs, and think about it more in the terms of rhythms. Okay, our lives are built around rhythms. There's our sleeping rhythms, our eating rhythms, our work and our vocation rhythms. There's, if you have kids, maybe the rhythms of school or nap time, or maybe your exercise routine or rhythms that you're a part of, and even here in Minnesota, the seasons. These are rhythms that are all around us in our life. So think about what we do as a church, not in terms of structures and programs, but think about it in terms of rhythms. And so as we think about this, the question that we want to sort of wrestle with is, what are the essential rhythms that our people need to be engaged in if we're going to be a healthy church that makes disciples? We can't do everything, but what are the essential things that we are going to choose to do as a church? What are the essential rhythms that we want to step into in order to be a church that does more than just talk about making disciples, but actually makes disciples? So the rhythms of our church family: gather for worship. And of course, we have a structure for that. It's gathered worship. It's on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We not only gather for worship, we scatter into community. We not only scatter into community, we go deep in the gospel, and we create space to belong. So to give a little bit more definition to each of these, we gather for worship, which means that we choose to regularly gather with God's people, and in doing so, we're formed by the word as a community. It's doing something to us as a family of believers when we sit under the teaching of God's word together. We're formed by the word as a community. We're reminded of our identity in Christ, and we connect with the larger body of believers. Not only do we gather for worship, we scatter into community, which means that we choose to fully engage in the messiness of a disciple-making community. And trust me, it's messy. It's time-consuming. It's inconvenient. But we choose to fully engage in these disciple-making communities where we encourage one another to follow Jesus in the everyday stuff of life. We go deep in the gospel, which means that we gather in smaller groups where we're regularly trying to find space to process the Bible together and pray for one another, and we're learning how to live in repentance and faith together. And we create space to belong. That is, we seek to create relational environments, whether it's homes or third spaces, which are pretty much any public space like a restaurant or a park or some other place, in order to grow in our friendships with those in our sphere of influence who do not yet know Jesus. So these are the kind of rhythms that we as a church want to be stepping into. And notice that one of these rhythms is a come here in a big group rhythm, and three of them are out there in and among the world rhythms. And what I think is so important for us to understand as we think about these rhythms is that we are not just measuring how many people come to a gathered worship service on Sunday morning. That's really important. It's important that we count how much money we have and how many people we have. But we don't want to only count those things. And so we want to not only be thinking about how many people can we gather in a room on Sunday morning, but we want to be thinking about how are we engaging people outside of gathered worship in these different kinds of rhythms? How are we intentionally living as families together? How are we intentionally talking about the gospel and learning to live in repentance and faith? How are we intentionally cultivating friendships with people who are not believers? We can't make disciples if we do not have relationships with people who are not followers of Jesus. And so we want to not just count how many people are involved in some of these programs that we put on, but what are the ways that this church is creating space for people who are not followers of Jesus to be engaged in real, genuine friendships and relationships? The growth of this local church and the multiplication of disciples will happen one intentional relationship at a time. The top part of this is the measures, and I'm just going to very briefly touch on this. This is sort of asking us to define the win. What does success look like for us as a church? And I'd like to suggest these three: transformation in all of life through belief in the gospel, reorientation of all of life around community and mission, and a disposition of love and hospitality towards everyone we meet. And those sort of broadly line up with grace, community, and mission. And in order to measure these things, we just have to try and ask questions. So let me just give you an example. So to measure transformation in all of life, we could ask the question, how often do our people encounter Jesus in word and prayer? Because you know that if we're not encountering Jesus in word and prayer, we're not growing as disciples. The gospel is not coming to bear on all of our lives. When we're thinking about reorientation of all of life around community and mission, in what ways do the people of this local church view where they live, work, and play through the eyes of a missionary? A disposition of love and hospitality towards everyone we meet. In what ways are the people of this church engaging people across political boundaries, across ethnic boundaries, across gender boundaries, across economic and social boundaries? In what ways are we cultivating an atmosphere of hospitality towards people who are radically different than us? These are the kind of things that we want to measure, because as the gospel takes root, we're going to be transformed in all these different ways. And so we want to measure these kinds of things. And just, these are a direction, not a destination. We're never going to perfectly achieve transformation, reorientation, and disposition. But we can make progress in those things. And so those are the kind of things that we want to be celebrating and measuring as a church family. So this is, again, the outside of this frame says, okay, who are we as a church? And the inside of the frame says more about where we're headed. And that's where I'd like to turn for the last few minutes of our time here. So you can flip over to that second page. So this tool has us break up the elements of the vision in time frame. So it asks us to think about a foreground, midground, background, and over the horizon. And so if you look at a picture like this that's up on the screen, you can sort of imagine that there's things that are in the foreground, things that are in the middle, things that are in the background, and things that are way out over the horizon. And so that's kind of how this portion of the vision frame is broken up. And so I'm going to begin by looking at the over the horizon, and we're going to work backwards towards what do we sense God calling us to do in the next 90 days as a church, okay? So the over the horizon, 20 years out vision for this church is our vision is to saturate the North Metro with gospel neighboring. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's a simple thing. We want to saturate the North Metro with gospel neighboring. Now, we tried to think about different ways to say this, because I don't know, there might be some of you here who are like, saturate the North Metro, like that's way too big picture, that feels very unattainable. So we tried to put this in a number of different ways to say it differently, so that it might strike some of you by saying it in a different way. So our vision is we want to see a gospel presence on every block. Our vision is for every person in the cities where we live to have a positive relationship with a follower of Jesus. Now, there's a lot of you here who are saying, boy, I can't do that, but I can do that. I can do everything in my power to have positive relationships and create that atmosphere. Our vision is to be an integral part of our city's well-being. To make our cities a great place to live for everyone, and to be a safe place to explore and encounter Jesus. And all of these things here at the bottom are just sort of a different way of saying the same thing. Our vision is to saturate the North Metro with gospel neighboring. That's where we are headed. So in the next 3 to 5 years, to accomplish that vision of saturating our city with gospel neighboring, we want to double the number of gospel communities we currently have by multiplying one new community out of every existing group. We want to see 10 people in our community come to know Jesus. And we want to see 80% of the people who are members and regular attenders of our church engaged in gospel community and engaged in sharing their faith on a regular basis. In Columbia Heights, our vision is to saturate the Columbia Heights area with gospel neighboring by multiplying 10 gospel communities and launching one new congregation. And we all know that if God doesn't show up, there ain't none of this that's happening. And the same thing is true down in Columbia Heights. We want to see 10 people come to know Jesus in our community, and we want to have 80% of our people engaged in disciple-making communities and learning to share their faith on a regular basis. So that's the 3 to 5 years from now. We'd love to see God do this in and through and among us. So 1 year out, in order to get to here, what do we got to have happen in 1 year from now? Here in Columbus, consistently engage 170 people throughout the various rhythms of church life. Now, before you freak out about the number, think about it like this. If we're talking about the rhythms of church life, which include not only gathered worship, but creating space for relationships to be built with people who are not followers of Jesus, If the Columbia Heights gospel community was sent out, there would be approximately 100 people left here, including kids, at this congregation. And that 100 people are made up of about between 35 and 40 family units. So if every one of those 40 family units sought to intentionally engage on an ongoing basis with other friends, those people in their sphere of influence who are not followers of Jesus, if every one family unit or person did that, we would double this from 100 to 200. So this is, we're not saying that we want to try and fit 170 people in this room. We're saying that throughout the various rhythms of the life of our church, we want to see more people. It's our goal to have more people engaged in the life of this church outside of these walls than just here on Sunday morning. In Columbia Heights, we would say 125. And again, we're walking the balance between we want God to do great stuff and we don't want to do things that we can only see us doing or only attainable by our own effort. We want to do things that sort of demand that God shows up and does something. So really, this 170 is actually quite attainable. If you have 100 people who are actively engaging people who are not followers of Jesus and doing it together with friends, there's no reason why in the next 6 months we couldn't have 170 people who were ongoing, who are ongoingly a part of the life of this church, although not a part of gathered worship. But remember, it's the engagement outside of these four walls that's likely to lead people to be engaged in the life of the church. Not necessarily trying to put on a good show and try and get people to come to our building. So that's what has to happen in the next 1 year. So now we get to the foreground, which is the next 90 days. So the city of Columbus here, one thing that we've been working on is sharing one story per week during gathered worship. We want to be regularly sharing stories about how God is at work among the people of this church, because God is at work. And so we ought to be sharing those stories. We ought to be celebrating those things. Initiate a once per month time of fasting, prayer, and worship. Part of the reason for this is if we're a church of our size thinking about sending anybody out, we've got to be crying out to God, saying, God, what do you want here in among this congregation? And not just among the whole church, but God, how do I personally fit in the vision of this church and where we're headed? And so if we're not continually crying out to God and being dependent upon him in prayer, we can be guaranteed that we're probably not going to accomplish anything spectacular. So we want to be a church that fasts and prays and worships together. And the next 90 days, vision casting for sending a group of people to the Columbia Heights area. That means vision casting for making it a success to send people out, even though it's uncomfortable, even though there's dimensions of that that are scary and that are unknown. We want to make it a culture where we celebrate sending as a success. And vision casting for, okay, if we send people out, what does that mean for those of us who remain here at this congregation? In what ways might God be calling us to step up or to contribute in a way that maybe we haven't before? In Columbia Heights, we'd have to gather a team of 30 committed adults, because if we are committed to multiplication, we're also committed to doing it in a way that's healthy. And so we're not going to take 12 adults and a handful of kids and send them out to be, quote unquote, a church. We would want there to be a critical mass of 30 committed adults, a part of that congregation, part of that local church. We'd have to gather a prayer team and discern the best location for our worship gatherings. Columbia Heights is pretty landlocked. There's no place to build. And from what I've experienced, the city is not super keen on churches meeting in their public spaces for things. And that's okay. It just means, what do? Do we go in Columbia Heights? Do we go somewhere near Columbia Heights? We just got to discern the best location for worship gatherings to take place down there. So that's an overview of the vision frame. I just want to say this as we move into, I want to give you plenty of time for conversation in the tables and then some time for Q&A and then spend at least 15 minutes at the end just praying together, praying over the maps that are there that have all the different households that are a part of this church family pinned. We want to spend time praying, but as a church, we're praying that God would allow us to become a part of a gospel movement in the North Metro area here. And these are big dreams, and we have a big God. And so the question then that you might be thinking is specifically, where do I fit in? I mentioned this earlier. The multiplication of disciples and the growth of this local church congregation will happen one intentional relationship at a time. Let me pray, and then let's go into some time of discussion. Lord, we thank you that you are the head of the church. We thank you that you are pleased to care for your church and to love her and to support her. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to drive this vision deep within us, Would you give us a heart for people who are not followers of Jesus? Would you cause us to be the kind of people that willingly disadvantage ourselves and are willing to steward our time and our relational capacity in such a way that we can actually engage with people who are far from you? Lord, we ask that you would just cause a fire to be lit among us for something that goes beyond the status quo. We want to see a movement of your Spirit. We want to see a movement of your gospel. And we just confess that we have no power in and of ourselves in order to accomplish that. So we pray that your Spirit would be alive and at work in a fresh way. And we look forward to returning praise to you for the ways that you care for us and love us and work through us. So be with us in our time of conversation now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.